All right, Mark. So now we will turn to a segment about one of the, shall we say, grosser mollusks there are.
Indeed. In fact, I had only heard about these slimy creatures as a mystery ingredient on a show that you and I both really enjoy,
oh, yeah.
Chopped.
But you never know what's in store in the Chopped Canada kitchen. Please open your baskets. Your entree must include gooey duck clams.
It's like disgusting-looking big clam which has something sticking out. It's gross.
It is gross. It's the gooey duck, which, if you aren't aware, sort of looks like a giant clam with a long kind of gooey arm sticking out of it.
Apparently, though, they are delicacies in Japan, right?
That is right. That is right. But today we aren't talking about the way they taste. Instead, we will talk about the what their shells say about climate change. And for that, we turn to Brian Black, associate professor in the University of Arizona's Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. Yes, tree rings. That might seem like an odd connection, but it turns out the idea of studying tree rings and studying gooey duck shells isn't all that different. Here's Black.
I'm originally trained as a forest ecologist, and at about the time I was finishing my degree, I was looking for postdoctoral positions and saw one advertised on the Oregon coast where they were looking for someone to study growth increments in marine organisms. And as a tree ring person, I had good ideas about how I would go about analyzing growth increments in these marine organisms, just like we would trees. So I applied and took a chance to go into marine science, and my employers took a chance as well.
Yeah.
And it ended up working very well that we could apply tree ring techniques to fish, increments in fish, bivalves, and have been working with those ever since.
Right. And so now you're doing this research with gooey ducks, with the shells, I should say, of gooey ducks, which you're studying the striations on them that are similar to tree rings in this way. Tell us how this works exactly. How do you get them? How do you analyze them?
So gooey duck form growth increments just like trees do. There's an annual increment each year, and the width of that increment varies in relationship to the environment that the gooey duck experiences, especially temperature. So that if you have a warm year, the shell's metabolism is fast and it forms a wide ring. And then during cold years, they'll form narrow rings. And so what we have done is gotten collections of gooey duck that were live collected, go in and really analyze the widths of those rings and apply these tree ring techniques to generate chronologies from live collected individuals. And those live collected individuals can take us back about 150 years. The
wow.
oldest gooey duck we've encountered lived to be 180 years.
Wow. And so through this, you're really able to measure essentially like the climate history of the ocean in that part of the country.
That's right. And so we can extend the history of ocean temperatures much farther back than instrumental records by using these live collected gooey duck. And we've developed several sites for these gooey duck and have found locations that pick up Pacific basin-wide climate signals that strongly influence the terrestrial systems for drought, snowpack, and fire, and at the same time capture temperature of the North Pacific that strongly determines productivity and functioning in these marine systems.
I understand you have some initial findings on this, and obviously this is related to climate change and looking at the rising temperatures in the ocean, which is such an important measurement of this. What are you finding so far?
So what we did last summer was collect dead organisms, dead shells, off the bottom of the ocean. We had divers collect these shells from the sediments and dig a meter deep trench, and then getting gooey duck that had died farther and farther back in time, the deeper they went in this trench. And so by doing that, we got shells that had been preserved for over 2,000 years on the ocean floor. And by using tree ring techniques, we were able to extend one of our chronologies, the live collected chronology, back in time with these dead collected organisms. And so we have a continuous year-by-year history of temperature back to the early 1700s, and then snippets of temperature that go back over 1,000 years. And so this shows that the Pacific has flip-flopped between warm and cool phases that persist 20 to 30 years on average. And then there was a calm period through the 1800s, and then a resumption of these flip-flops that really characterize a 20th century climate. And superimposed on those flip-flops between these warm and cool regimes is a dramatic warming trend that accelerated through the 1940s and then accelerated even more at this dramatic flip from a cool phase to a warm phase in 1976 and has now really exceeded the last thousand years of variability since that.
So I wonder, did any of this surprise you? I mean, like, we know, right, that the oceans are warming, but was the obviousness of the trend surprising to you? Were some of these years when it jumped surprising to you? Was there something from this that we learned that is new?
Yes, it's surprising to see the dramatic flips from warm to cool phase and how stable those can be for 20 to 30 years, and that these have occurred over the very long time periods of the past several centuries. And also the dramatic warming that we've seen through 1976. This seems to be a real turning point in the North Pacific that's corroborated by the GUI doc, that there was a warming through the 1940s and then really accelerated after 1976 with the flip to a warm regime that appears to be unprecedented in the longer record. And is concurrent with other warming trends we see in the North Atlantic, too, in the Northern Hemisphere.
What do you think all of this should be used for? Like, what do you want this research to contribute to the conversation around climate change in this country?
Certainly quantifying the trends that we see in climate change in the North Pacific and how dramatically that change has occurred over the last century, and that there is considerable background variability from year to year and from decade to decade. But what we're experiencing now is unparalleled in this longer record.
Yeah. Okay, last question for you then, Brian. Like I told you, I have only heard of the gooey duck because of shows like on the Food Network. Have you ever eaten one?
I have not eaten one, but it is on our list to do. There's a sushi place in Tucson that serves it on Fridays.
You gotta go.
It will be one of our lab outings.
That is Brian Black, Associate Professor at the University of Arizona's Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.